weed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man.
Well, on the earth.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Tuesday, May 17th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. And it's definitely 420 right here in beautiful legal potland, Oregon. We're back at Rolla J Studios, and I tell you, it's great to be back home, back in a legal state. Just got back here from Anchorage, Alaska, where I flew in yesterday and brought you some highlights from the Northwest Cannabis Classic in Alaska. I've got another great highlight from that episode up there. It was my chance to meet a bona fide reality television star. So today, in lieu of the radical rant at the end of the show, we got a special edition of Cannabis Cinema. I got a chance to speak with Chip Hailstone and his wife Agnes. They are two of the stars of National Geographic's Life Below Zero. They're subsistence hunters and gatherers north of the Arctic Circle, and the reality show follows them and others living up there where it's really cold and the sun disappears for months at a time. Had some great conversations with Chip. Got to hang out with him and Agnes at Alaska's 420 headquarters, the potluck events in Anchorage. Got to be with him at the expo. He was having a great time in the 70-degree weather. I gotta say, that's got to be so much nicer for him than it was for me. But my interview with Chip Hailstone coming up at the end of the show. Also coming up on the show today, we'll have Activist Agenda. And in the agenda today, we're speaking with Matt Mills from illegallyalive.org. This is another one of these great nonprofit organizations that are helping to bring the plight of our cannabis patients to light, to let people know they'd rather be illegally alive than legally dead. Also, later on in hour two, we'll have some highlights from the Northwest Cannabis Classic. Got some great interviews, including the Battle of the Radio Voices. I met another radio guy there from Kick 66 in Alaska. Dave Taylor will be on the show later today. Also, the gentleman behind Cardoso IT Solutions up in Alaska, and a great, great chef up there. Chef Samantha was doing a cooking demonstration with some, oh my gosh, some tomato bisque and toasted cheese, and oh my gosh, it was great. We talked to her a little bit as well. We'll bring those to you in hour two. Also coming up on the show today, in lieu of drug war data mining, we're going to get into the Cannabusiness Chronicles. We've got a call in from Scott Les. He's with Haze Vaporizers, wants to talk a little bit about what's happening with the FDA, vaporization, and the various state rules on this emerging technology. So we'll talk about that. That comes right after Behind the Headlines. And in Behind the Headlines today, a really interesting case coming out of Nebraska. One of these rare moments where somebody gets busted with tens of thousands of dollars in their car, and they got it back. And not only did they get it back, they were found absolutely not guilty of all charges, thanks to a quirk of Nebraska Supreme Court precedent. So we'll take a look at that coming up in Behind the Headlines. It's kind of a complex little story. Also on the show, of course, we begin everything with the Cannabis Radio News. We got headlines from Governor John Hickenlooper in Denver, who seems to think pot's working now. Legalization, that is working now. My Congressman Earl Blumenauer wants to help our vets get medical marijuana through the VA. In Oklahoma, they're fighting to get medical marijuana on the ballot. We'll tell you how many signatures they need. Pueblo County, Colorado, sending kids to school thanks to marijuana taxes. Oakland, California, taking up my idea of drug war reparations. Palmer, Alaska, in the news, the Matsu Valley. And we've got more on that medical marijuana bill in Columbus, Ohio. All that coming up next on The Russ Belville Show, live from Potland, Oregon.
This is The Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The next next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Voober vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Voober vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be. The Voober way.
Doc Rob, the concierge for better living.
My guests say Razzie Berry. We're talking about nature, naturopathic medicine, as well as the concept of prevention and preventing disease.
Empower people to live a naturopathic lifestyle. Get to know your body, understand its rhythms, remove toxins, and use natural alternatives whenever possible. 90 to 95% of cancers are due to environment and lifestyle risk factors. I mean, that's a huge number. That means that cancer is preventable.
The Concierge for Better Living with Doc Rob. Only on CannabisRadio.com.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Tuesday, May 17th, 2016. Denver, Colorado. In an about-face from statements made shortly after Colorado legalized marijuana, Governor John Hickenlooper says, quote, "It's beginning to look like it might work," end quote. Shortly after Colorado became one of the first two states to legalize, Hickenlooper said that if he could, quote, "wave a magic wand," end quote, to reverse the decision, he would, calling the voters, quote, "reckless" and legalization, quote, "risky," end quote. Speaking at the Milliken Institute Global Conference in Los Angeles, Hickenlooper said, quote, "If I had that magic wand now, I don't know if I would wave it," end quote. Since legalization, Colorado has experienced some of the nation's lowest unemployment, thanks to a $1 billion marijuana industry that contributed $100 million in tax revenue to the centennial state. Washington, D.C., from High Times. Congressman Earl Blumenauer is set to introduce an amendment to the 2017 Military Appropriations Bill later this week, which will prohibit using funds to enforce the Department of Veterans Affairs policy banning its physicians from referring patients to medical marijuana programs. Under the amendment, VA medical providers would effectively be able to recommend medical marijuana to vets in states where it is legal. Blumenauer's plans to introduce the amendment in the House following the approval of a similar amendment in the Senate committee. Together, Blumenauer said the proposals have a good chance of passing the legislature. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Supporters of a proposal to legalize medical marijuana in Oklahoma have formally begun collecting signatures in an effort to put the question on the ballot. Oklahomans for Health is collecting signatures Saturday at businesses in Oklahoma City, Tulsa, Lawton, Norman, and Bartlesville. Oklahomans for Health has 90 days to collect the signatures of about 66,000 registered voters in order to get the question on the November ballot. Pueblo County, Colorado. Marijuana taxes in Colorado are helping to send 25 economically disadvantaged Hispanic students to college. The Pueblo Hispanic Education Foundation is issuing 25 $1,000 grants to students, which Executive Director Beverly Duran notes are expanding the program to, quote, "extraordinary lengths," end quote. At least half and as many as three quarters of the students in Pueblo County's high schools are battling poverty. Of the $135 million raised by Colorado's recreational and medical marijuana taxes, $35 million is dedicated to improving schools. Oakland, California. A controversial proposal for so-called drug war reparations in the form of marijuana licensing is set to be heard by Oakland City Council tonight. The proposal, which calls on awarding every other commercial marijuana license to people who have had a recent marijuana conviction or who live in one of six Oakland Police Department beats most heavily policed for marijuana, passed unanimously in its first reading last week. Councilmember Desley Brooks explicitly stated that her amendments would be a form of reparation for those most impacted by the drug war. Critics say the rules are unfair and would be easily circumvented by aspiring pot moguls who could simply use straw men with convictions or the right address to be their hired licensee. Palmer, Alaska, the mayor of Matanuska-Susitna Borough, otherwise known as Matsu, has vetoed a moratorium on marijuana businesses put forth by the borough assembly. Mayor Vern Halter said that the borough is months from finalizing regulations and should not be in the business of regulating marijuana besides collecting taxes, according to his veto statement. The assembly can still override Halter's veto, which it will decide later this evening. Industry watchers are focused on the Matsu Valley for its long tradition of cannabis cultivation and its access to the urban Anchorage market. Columbus, Ohio. A state Senate panel has delayed making changes to a proposal that would legalize medical marijuana in Ohio. The bill would bar patients from smoking the substance, but allow them to use it in vapor form. They couldn't grow it at home. Communities could opt out of hosting dispensaries, and employers who want to maintain drug-free workplaces would be protected from liability. The House passed the legislation last week. The Senate's Government Oversight Committee says changes anticipated Tuesday could now come Wednesday. Lawmakers want the fast-track bill to reach the governor by month's end. They're seeking to head off a proposed November ballot issue supported by the National Medical Marijuana Movement. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Tuesday, May 17th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
And if standing for the Constitution make you a wacko bird, then I am a very, very proud wacko bird.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
NARML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Are you playing an acoustic guitar but want to be louder without an amp? Try a resonator guitar. The fingerboard extension has National Resophonic and other resonators, square necks and round necks. Stop by the fingerboard extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today. Or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com. Go wild hog in the woods.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, I bring you some good news from the state of Nebraska. Mark this day down because you're not often going to hear me say good news from the state of Nebraska. This is a story that goes back to October of 2014 when the Lancaster County Sheriff's Deputy stopped a young man by the name of Eric Felsheim. His crime? He was following too closely. He was on Interstate 80 just outside of Lincoln, Nebraska, and he was tailgating, following someone too closely. Uh-huh, sure. But as he gets pulled over, the cop does his typical question and answer session and finds out, because Eric doesn't know not to talk to cops, finds out that Eric is headed to Colorado. Okay, so you're on Interstate 80, headed to Colorado, and Eric admitted that he was nervous. So the deputy asked if he had any drugs or large amounts of cash in the rental car. Oh, it's a rental car. I see. So you pulled over a rental car on I-80 West because it was following someone too close. I see. Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, asked if there's any drugs or large amount of cash in the rental car. And Eric says no. And then the cop asks if he could search the car. And he paused, but then said yes. Strike two for Eric, right? He's not listening to the Russ Belville show. Doesn't know not to assent to a search. Look, if a cop's asking if you can search, it's because he has to ask you to search. He doesn't have enough to go and search if he wanted to. If he's got enough to go for it, he's going to go for it. If he's asking you, say no. The worst thing that could happen is he finds a way to go for it. In which case, you're no worse off than had you said yes, and you're better off because your attorney can use the fact that you refused a search. I digress. So the cops search the car, and in the trunk, they find $40,000 cash in a gym bag and $25,000 in a duffel bag. $65,000 worth of cash. And you know this Nebraska cop's eyes are lighting up because they know all about civil asset forfeiture, and they can just take that money. So they ask some more questions, and Eric, being the guy who doesn't listen to my show, admitted he was going to Golden, Colorado to buy 10 pounds of pot to sell in Mankato, Minnesota, where he goes to college. The rest of the cash, that was his $40,000, right? The rest of the cash, the $25,000, was for his passenger, James, who planned to buy 7.5 pounds. So you got this Nebraska cop who finds $65,000, two young men in their 20s, who go to school, University of Minnesota, who admit they're taking tens of thousands of dollars across Nebraska to go to Colorado to buy weed, 17.5 pounds of weed, to take back to Minnesota. Well, of course, they're arrested. Cops arrested them both, and the prosecutors charged Eric with two felonies, possession of money intended to be used to facilitate a drug violation, and aiding the consummation of delivery of a controlled substance. So drug money and trafficking drugs, basically. Now, the other kid, James, pleaded no contest to his charges, which were possession of marijuana and attempted possession of money while violating drug laws that were both misdemeanors. So the passenger got a couple misdemeanors. Again, $25,000, the passenger admits he's got. Well, I don't know if the passenger admitted it. Eric admitted it. But anyway, passenger's got two misdemeanors. He pleads no contest. He gets 360 days in jail, almost a year in jail, and a $2,000 fine. And he finished his sentence April 25th. So the passenger did almost a year in jail. Eric, on the other side, though, decides to take it to trial. Maybe he was listening to my show. Because he decides to take it to trial. Now, both sides in the trial admit to all the facts. So there's no argument that, yep, I had $40,000 on me. I was driving it from Minnesota to Colorado to buy some weed. I was going to take that weed back to Minnesota and sell it to people. Everybody agreed to that setup. Everybody agreed to those facts. But here's the thing. Did he commit a crime in Nebraska? He wasn't buying drugs in Nebraska. He wasn't selling drugs in Nebraska. And he didn't have any drugs in Nebraska. Now, the defense attorney, and my hats off to this defense attorney, his name's Tim Sullivan, pointed to a ruling from a 1975 Nebraska Supreme Court case called State v. Karsten. And he argued that it's not against Nebraska law to conspire to break the law of another state. In that State v. Karsten ruling, this was a case where a man was convicted of conspiracy to assault a man in Colorado for planning and paying a man in Nebraska to commit the act. The assault never took place, and the conviction ultimately was overturned. So this was a case back in 1975 where a guy was going to pay a Nebraska guy to go to Colorado and beat up a guy in Colorado, but the beatdown never happened. And so was it a crime to conspire in Nebraska to commit an assault in Colorado? And it was not under Nebraska law. Using that precedent, they got Eric off of all the charges. The judge said the state has legitimate interest in protecting its people from drug trafficking, but he had not yet committed a crime in Nebraska when he was stopped. He intended to buy the marijuana in Colorado and sell it in Minnesota. Although Nebraska law makes it a crime to possess money intended to be used to buy illegal drugs, the possession of the currency alone is not a crime. So the kid got off of all the charges. This is amazing. Great news coming out of the state of Nebraska.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
The chief deputy county attorney there said the decision's not a good one, saying, here was someone admitting what he was doing and we didn't get a conviction.
Ha ha.
Cue the Nelson Muntz laugh track. Hey folks, it's 420 out in Denver, and when we come back, Cannabusiness Chronicles, Scott Lez from Haze Vapes.
Gondrepreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Gondrepreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Gondrepreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Gondrepreneur.com, helping gondrepreneurs grow.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Carson doesn't believe in the Geneva Convention.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Welcome to Cannabis Confidential. I'm your host, Dr. Dina. We've got David Faustino on the line, Bud Bundy from Married with Children. Did you feel nervous being a celebrity walking into a weed store?
I don't remember at all being like, ooh, I'm scared someone's going to take my picture here.
What are they going to say? Bud Bundy smokes bud? I mean, come on.
It wouldn't be a big shocker. Hey, this is David Faustino, and I'm on Cannabis Confidential with my girl Dr. Dina on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details. Mark Twain once said that when there's a gold rush, it's a good time to be in the pick and shovel business. Today, we look at the rapidly evolving markets in the marijuana green rush in our Cannabusiness Chronicles.
Welcome back, everybody. Today in the Cannabusiness Chronicles, we have a guest joining us. Scott Lez is on the phone. And Scott, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
And I hope I got your last name pronunciation okay. Is it Lez?
It's Les.
Les. Okay, fantastic. Thanks for being here. And you're with one of the great vaporizer companies out there, and a new vaporizer you've got out there, the Haze Dual V3. And I'm wondering if you could just give us, you know, a snapshot of what the Haze Dual V3 vaporizer is and what makes it different from the other vaporizers out there.
Well, we are the first and only dual chamber vaporizer on the market. We have the ability to handle dry herb concentrates and e-liquids. We also distinguish ourselves as a very versatile device with the ability to have pre-packed cans, multiple different options with cans and screens, and removable batteries, which really kind of caters to an active on-the-go lifestyle and infinite possibilities as far as how you utilize it.
So with the dual chamber technology here, I don't have to try to make herb and oil fit in the same spot, right?
You can, but no, you can load each one of those chambers with whatever material type you like and vape them independently.
Is that recommended? I mean, I'm thinking it might be a cool way to make sure you're using the same temperatures or just cleaning the same substance on either side.
Yeah, I mean, it's we have four different temperature settings. You can set the temperature, independently on each side. The chambers work independently. They will not work together. So You can't put like concentrate in one and then dry herb in the other one. Like I said, you can kind of mix them in a can if you want, which is a pretty unique experience. A lot of very popular thing to do. But as far as how it works, you know, just having the four different temperature settings and just having the ability to switch from one to the other, which is the flip of the switch, is something I think is really very well sought after.
You know, there's only so much we can describe on radio. So give our listeners a website where they might see some pictures and they can follow along with what we're talking about.
You can check us out at www.hazevaporizers.com. And we also have a Facebook page out there if you want to check us out there as well.
And that's Haze like Silver Haze, not Haze like Isaac Haze. H-A-Z-E Vaporizers. Is it plural? Vaporizers.com?
Vaporizers, yes, plural.
Okay, HazeVaporizers.com. Check that out. And why do you think vaping is so popular these days? You know, I'm an old joint smoker from back in the day, but everywhere I go now, I'm seeing a lot of people using vaporizers.
I think there's a number of advantages vaporizers hold over traditional combustion. First and foremost is health. You're not introducing a lot of the carcinogens that you're getting with burning. So that's a huge factor. Certainly folks that have, you know, lung issues or breathing issues, I think it's a much safer alternative there. But beyond that, there's other benefits as well. The smell is a little less intrusive. It's more efficient, and the taste is a heck of a lot better because you're not introducing all the burning and the ash and everything that comes along with combustion. So you would be surprised how good your stuff tastes through a vaporizer. Some people don't even realize it, and the first time they use a vaporizer, they're shocked at how good their medicine tastes.
We're speaking with Scott Less from HazeVaporizers.com. Check them out and their new product, the Haze Dual V3 Vaporizer. And I'm glad you brought up the health benefits because I'm calling you from Oregon, where our legislature just added not just cannabis smoke, but cannabis vapor to the Secondhand Smoke Clean Air Act laws. What are some of the challenges you guys are facing as an industry, these vaporizer industry? I know the FDA is starting to look at this too.
Yeah, I mean, there's some things that are coming around, and I don't want to get into a lot of detail on it. I'll just say that, you know, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. There's studies that need to be done. I think at the end of the day, there's not a lot of dispute that vaping is a safer alternative than smoking. Nobody's saying that vaporizing is good for you. It's just that it's better for you than smoking. So there's a lot that has to be evaluated. And I think the vaporizer industry historically has done a pretty darn good job of policing themselves. If you go on to a lot of the forums, that's one of the main reasons people are getting into vaping is the health benefits. So they want to make sure that the air path and the device and the materials that they're being used to build the device are all safe and clean. So again, that's one of the reasons why the industry has already kind of self-governed itself. And I think that that's going to kind of come out, you know, through a lot of this legislation that's coming out, and it's going to be an interesting ride, but we feel we're in a pretty good position to be there at the end of it.
The product is the Haze Dual V3 Vaporizer System. You can find them at HazeVaporizers.com. And Scott, are there other contact information or Facebook pages you'd like to tell our listeners about?
You know, we're also on Instagram, but, you know, really, our website has a wealth of information. We spend a lot of time focusing on education, not just about our vaporizer specifically, but the benefits of vaporizing. We've got a blog that has other related topics. So, and a lot of videos that we help support from a training standpoint, how to clean your device, you know, basic things. And I think that's really an area that we've worked hard to try to differentiate ourselves, and I feel pretty good about it.
All right. Well, Scott, thanks for telling us about it. The Haze Dual V3 Vaporizer System, dual chamber vapes, good for flower, good for oil, and all sorts of ways. Check it out at HazeVaporizers.com to learn all about it. Scott, thanks for joining us, and good luck.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
All right. Stick around, folks. When we come back, we'll be getting into the activist agenda. We're going to speak with Matt Mills from illegallyalive.org. Then after that, in our cannabis cinema, we've got Chip Hailstone from Nat Geo's Life Below Zero.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolut, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs. With over 6 years of experience in the industry, New Era CPAs is one of the nation's leading cannabis accounting firms, helping hundreds of growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies with their tax, legal, and business strategies. New Era CPAs offices cover the West Coast from Seattle to San Diego, and their skilled team is always available to help you take your business to the next level. Visit NewEraCPAs.com for more info and set up a consultation. Welcome to the New Era.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome back, everybody, and I'd hope to go to the activist agenda, but as you can hear, nothing but hold music on the conference call number I was given to dial my friends out at illegallyalive.org. Not their fault, folks. My fault. It was a long time trying to set this interview up, and I had to bump them a couple times, and they maybe just lost it off their calendar. So instead, we take you to Anchorage, Alaska, and the Northwest Cannabis Classic. Some of my interviews, starting with a good one with Dave Taylor from Kick 66.
Welcome back, everyone. Radical Russ here on the floor of the Northwest Cannabis Classic and Expo, and it's time for Battle of the Radio Voices. We've got a radio professional joining us. Tell folks your name and your station.
I run Funtime Oldies, Kick 66, and it's a oldie station. Plays music from the 60s through the 90s. My name is Dave Taylor, and I live here in Anchorage.
Fantastic, Dave. And you're a longtime broadcast veteran, I understand.
That is correct, yes. I've been here in Anchorage for about 25 years, been on the air. But my radio interest goes back to when I was 5 years old. My heroes were like Dan Ingram and so forth from WABC New York, LS Chicago, back during the days of the flamethrower AM stations. That's and right. You probably remember those things.
I remember a few of them on long road trips, picking up the AM dial. You know, late at night, it would bounce thousands and thousands of miles. Growing up in Boise, Idaho, I used to listen to KGO out of San Francisco.
Right, right, exactly. Well, I was ABC New York, LS Chicago, KBW in Buffalo, New York, and BZ Boston, all those stations back because I grew up in the Northeast, near Philadelphia. As a matter of fact, one of the TV shows that was my favorite that I used to watch, it was called... a little show called American Bandstand with Dick Clark. He was only on WFIL Channel 6 Philadelphia. And then, of course, obviously, the rest is history when they expanded and moved to L.A. But I do remember those days because I'm now 66. So,
wow. So you've had a long career in broadcast, in radio. You've been here in Alaska for a long time. How has it been as it's become legal here, medical and then legal in Alaska, with respect to the broadcast journalism and the way they covered the issue, or the, you know, there's sometimes a lot of pot puns or snickering. Have they become more mature on this issue, you think?
I would say so, yes. I haven't really been involved with that end of it a lot because this is fairly new to me coming back into this. And I believe that there is going to be more really good dialogue concerning this as we get the word out. That's what we're about doing here is getting the word out that, that we're not all just like alcoholics or whatever. This really has a benefit. I'm a retired military veteran, and I also have issues from the military as well that I deal with, and the marijuana helps calm me. It helps me in this. So, and I am just recently really been discovering this to myself. So yes, there has been more open dialogue with Cheeky Monkey and things there, and I'm airing that, getting into that, getting the word out, you know, that hey, this is really good stuff, and it's you know, it helps you.
You know, reaching out to all sorts of audiences out there, as you reach out to folks your age, the older audience that maybe came up with this through the Vietnam era, the Woodstock era, are there any surprises or things that you coming back into this, you went, wow, things have really changed?
I would say so. In the quality of the product.
Yeah.
I would say there has been lots of upgrades, lots of changes in the quality of the product. And now that it's actually coming out with what we're doing here and bringing it into the mainstream and out of the, you know, dark areas and so forth, I really like that, what's happening. I really like what I'm seeing happening in the industry here and in other places where it has been legalized. So, yeah.
All right, Dave, tell our listeners where they can pick you up online or over the airwaves.
All right. I'm internet only right now, and I have two stations, Kick 66 and The Master's Mix, and they're both listed on TuneIn Radio. If you downloaded the TuneIn Radio, it's a very popular app available for iPhone, Android, and the Windows phones, and you look under Alaska, and I'm the only two internet stations listed there. So that's how you can find me, or on Shoutcast, And there's AHA Radio as well. I'm on that one in some of the car apps. You'll find my stations there. So, yep.
Excellent work, Dave, dominating the internet radio here in Alaska. And thanks for being here at the show.
All right, Russ, thank you very much. And thank you for being here as well. Enjoyed it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Northwest Cannabis Classic and Expo. Radical Russ here on the floor, day one. And we're here at the desk for Cardoso IT Solutions. And we're speaking with Thomas Craig. How you doing, Thomas?
Excellent. Can't complain.
So IT Solutions, I imagine we're talking about controlling people's point of sale, their inventory. Tell us a little bit about what you're offering.
Good question. We do offer that, but on top of that, we provide solutions for security for the industry. So point of access control, monitor alarm systems, camera systems that all meet the state regulations and beyond that. Other things that we are providing is for the personal use market, something to secure their home with too.
So do you come from the traditional security area and then are adapting to now the cannabis industry?
What we're doing is we're bringing different professional sides of this business all together into one. So I do come from the alarm side of it, and then Fernando, he comes from the IT solution. So we are mending those two together, providing a one-stop solution.
For the consumers out there that might be looking into these products, do they need to have an extensive IT background? Do they need to have specific hardware, Apple, PC, Unix, any of that stuff?
Right, that can get confusing. That's where we come in. We integrate that all in for you, so that way it's not a problem. We're able to adapt a lot of different systems because we custom build these systems for you.
Okay, so somebody's already got some IT investment. They're not going to have to reinvent everything. They're not going to have to take everything down and get new stuff?
Exactly. We're not taking something off the shelf and saying, hey, this is your new solution. We're able to adapt to what you have in place, so that way it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg.
How long have you been in business, and what got you involved?
Well, I've been in business with the alarm side for more than 5 years now, and just a passion to provide this service to Alaska. It's a unique market, and this is a way to get out and help people out. Brand new industry, so it's very exciting to help out this and see it grow.
Do you find any special considerations that you have to use for this industry compared to others?
Yeah, I would say just because this is built from the ground up all at once right now. These businesses were not able to start out already, and so they need everything. So from the ground up, that's kind of the need, all in one at one time.
How about real-time reporting? Is this accessible through the web or in different ways of getting reports for the customer?
Yes, and so there's different devices, different avenues that you can access this system, I think is the question correct?
Yeah,
so you can check out your system if you're in California and your place is on the Kenai. You can get notification if somebody leaves a door open for more than 5 minutes. It's very interactive and customizable for each end user.
I was looking at your screen in the background. I saw something about drones. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so this is the exciting industry of technology that we're able to bring out some of the newer things. And people who are looking to utilize this service for outdoor operations, instead of putting up 20 cameras, you can use a drone to actually track if there is an event that's triggered. So instead of having to have all these cameras, you can have a drone minimize the camera usage and follow that around.
So say if there's a break detected in a fence, it goes and flies over to that break or something?
Correct. So it does integrate in with the monitored security system. So if there's something triggered, it will know to go fly over there, and it could track that person or that moose, whatever it be, around for you. So yeah, it's exciting.
Is this both visual and, like, say, infrared for, you know, night detection or something?
Exactly, yes. It would be equipped, certain models are equipped for both those, night and day, yeah. And then it could read thermal signature, so it will be able to follow that person around.
So as long as it's anything but one of the predators, you should be okay. The predator monster, I don't think he can detect.
Technology has gotten that good yet I think he's got us on that one, yeah.
Well, fortunately, predators are allergic to weed. A lot of people didn't know that. If only Schwarzenegger had known.
Oh, well, yeah, definitely. That's all you got to do is just plant a couple of doobies around, and then you'll be secured.
So tell folks in our audience how they can get in touch with Cardoso IT Solutions online.
Great. You can check out our website, Cardoso IT Solutions, or on Facebook, LinkedIn. We're on all the avenues. So we tweet from time to time, too. So we're out there.
Thomas Craig with Cardoso IT Solutions. Thanks for being here at the Expo, and have a great show.
Thank you.
Radical Russ here at the cooking demonstration at the Northwest Cannabis Classic and Expo, and we're speaking with Chef Samantha. Hi, Samantha.
Hi, how are you?
I'm high. How are you?
I'm pretty high myself. I'm having a good day.
She handed me this wonderful half piece of toasted bread with, well, tell us what it is.
So pretty much, it's a two-in-one recipe. What we did was we did a jalapeno popper earlier with a roasted pan-seared halibut. It just had some, you can, if you want, toss in some herbal butter to saute your halibut. Throw in some salt, pepper, garlic powder. Make that a little soft. Then you toss it in with a bacon special cream cheese. And we stuff that and top it off with the Monterey Jack cheddar. And this is our take on a crostini.
I would testify that it is incredibly delicious. I just had one. Oh, my God, that's good. So is that infused?
It can be. So far right now, we can't actually give out infused samples, but we want to teach people how to actually incorporate it into their daily menus and how to just know that weed isn't just for baked goods. Weed isn't just for cookies. It's not for Rice Krispies. Heck, do duck confit, bake it twice a day, do something you love. That is what cooking is for. And we're just here to make it a little bit greener, a little bit sweeter, and to put a smile on your face and relax your body at the end of the day.
You are the ones who are burning everything.
Oh yeah, you're fine, that's fine.
I'm not on TV.
No, it's radio.
Okay.
Don't worry about it, nobody can see you, no one knows who you are.
Jalapeno Pepper Jack Crostini.
Great.
How's it?
Isn't that great?
Has it got stuff in it?
No.
But cooking is our passion. It's something we've loved to do, both of us, since we were kids. And, you know, once we kind of got into our own little cycles of smoking weed and exploring our lives and seeing what this industry really is about, we learn cooking isn't just, like, weed isn't just for your pipe. It's not just for sitting at home hanging out with the homies. It's for making a good down-home meal where people can enjoy it, they can come relax, and they can know that, hey, I'm going to feel good after this dinner. I'm not going to feel tired. No, I'm going to want to chill. I'm going
to
relax.
Possibly.
I mean, it's definitely the thought. One of the things we've touched on is possibly an Amsterdam cafe. So bring a little... Bring a little half and half to the Anchorage area.
Right.
Because right now we don't really have anything in the area that is kind of catering to that particular stretch. A lot of it's just kind of industries and it's a little pop-up shops here and there, but we want to have something that is going to change the future of the restaurant industry. And that's what we're going for. We just want to put smiles on people's faces and give them food that they're really going to enjoy.
Does adding cannabis as an ingredient change some of the ways you have to cook foods?
You know, it really does. Cannabis itself is actually kind of nutty. Yeah. It's got this really nice, almost in between a pine nut and a walnut flavor. And that changes everything. I mean, do you want it to be a little nutty? Do you want it to be a little sweet? You know, and you have to kind of figure out that balance and what really works for you. So luckily, it does change it, but not dramatically. It's kind of like cooking with applesauce or even cooking with coconut oil versus butter. Like, it's that mild of a difference.
So in making different cannabis-infused foods, are there certain foods that enhance the effect of cannabis? I've heard mango for one, but do you know of any others?
Actually, I found pomegranate. Pomegranate, actually, the tartness in it brings out a little bit more of the THC because it draws out the moisture from the leaves. And it creates this really nice, almost musky kind of sweet berry flavor. I love it.
What's your favorite dish to make with cannabis?
That would probably have to be the teriyaki gyoza. And we're gonna be doing a mock version of that here, and it's gonna be a pork and ginger gyoza with a buttered teriyaki sauce.
When is this happening?
It's gonna be happening around 5:30, I believe.
I know where I'll be at 5:30. That sounds delicious, Samantha. Tell our listeners out there how they can get in touch with you if you have a website or Facebook or anything.
If you want to get in touch with myself or Shane Pagel, you can check us out on Facebook. I'm actually going to be starting a page for us, and that way we can kind of promote our foods and promote some of the culinary explorations we're seeing around Anchorage. But you can also reach me at Samantha Oliver on Facebook, Sam Oliver 11 on Instagram. Follow us. We'll be posting up pictures and what we're going to be coming up with next.
Thanks so much for being here and doing these great demonstrations. You've got the overhead camera. You've got the mics going here in the nice kitchen setup. What are you going to be making next?
Right now, we're going to actually let our fellow cannabis enthusiasts, Baked Alaska, they're going to come up and they're going to do a how-to on making butter itself. So I'm actually pretty excited about that because, I mean, no one way of making butter is really right. Everyone's different. Everybody's body highs are different. So it'll be nice to see a different variety.
Great time at the Northwest Cannabis Classic. And I tell you, those cannabis edibles that Chef Samantha was putting out, really good. They weren't even infused because, the cops there at the Denina Center, the organizers, for some reason, let the cops wander around all day. And so it kind of put the kibosh on some of the things that some of these vendors were planning to do, if you get my drift. I'll tell you more about Alaska, America's last frontier, and the best of the legalized states in some ways. I'll tell you which ways in hour two. Stay tuned. My interview with Chip Hailstone from Nat Geo's Life Below Zero is up next.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Vuber way.
I said palm tree, make California. Yo, this your boy TJ, Trinidad James. You're listening to Dr. Dina on Cannabis Confidential. LA, what up?
Nickname James, man. I'm worried like. I need to...
People were so excited to see you supporting our industry, and it's so important to see people who are mainstream, who are out there, that people look up to.
That was my first one ever going to, so that was definitely a big deal for me. It's not just, oh man, just come smoke a bunch of joints. It's a lot of science into it. It's way more interesting than a lot of people might think, who look down, per se, on what we enjoy.
Cannabis Confidential, only on CannabisRadio.com.
When
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com. As marijuana moves into the mainstream, more filmmakers are taking a look at all aspects of cannabis culture. These days, marijuana movies are about more than hiding from Sergeant Stadenko or trying to get to White Castle for the munchies. Join with us as we explore the latest in the cannabis cinema.
Hey everybody, Radical Russ here at the Northwest Cannabis Classic Day 1, and I've run into a bona fide reality star, Chip Hailstone, his wife Agnes from Nat Geo's Life Below Zero. How are you doing?
We're doing excellent, better than about 10 minutes ago before we were through the door.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, and certainly way above zero here in Anchorage. It's summertime out there, like 60, 70 degrees.
Yep, 4 days ago we snow machined to Kotzebue. We flew down here and we're in our t-shirts. This is awesome.
It's nice out here. So you've been doing this show now, you said, what, is it the fourth season you're filming now?
Fourth year, and it's the seventh season because you divide them into two, summer and winter.
Oh, okay, so...
no idea why.
And for the folks that don't have cable or haven't seen your show, give them a basic idea of what the show's about.
The show basically watches me and my wife and our family for 4 days. They get what they get, whether we get something or not, and we are subsistence hunters, fishers, and gatherers. And we basically make a living from the land by hunting, gathering, and getting our own food, our own fuel for heating our house. And then we take the other products from them, like antlers, ivory, skins, and we make museum displays. And those displays make us enough money to buy more gas and parts and go out and go do it again.
So you're up above the Arctic Circle, living off the land, and they're out there just filming the travails, the ups and downs, and the danger that you guys face up there, you know, bears, wolves, all sorts of stuff, right?
Yep, you basically hit it, except for we're the most dangerous thing on the tundra to the bears and the wolves.
So. And the caribou, I understand?
Oh, and the caribou, that's our favorite food. So yeah, we got to run them down. None of this stuff is harvested. We're not farmers. I hate that word because I'm a hunter. And nothing stands still and wait for us. We have to look for it. We have to track it. We have to hunt it down. We have to take its life, and then we have to process it. So the work only, it never stops. Work is only work is a work, because we're either working to get there or we're working when we've got it.
So how many hours a day are you spending, you know, to survive?
Well, we sleep 9 hours a day because we got to be rested, and then the rest of the day is probably spent on either taking care of the kids, taking care of the house, taking care of the camp, taking care of the boat, or whatever needs to be done. And we're always in a kind of a constant state of flux. We move all the time, and we take our kids with us most of the times, but now the three youngest kids are in school, so we're kind of sedate in the fall time and half of the winter, and then me and the wife take off. And the older children have either their own homes and their own families, or the ones that don't yet are off running, like with their heads cut off, basically exploring the world. And we kind of, you know, help that too. We kick them money and give them jobs to do, and try to let them see what it is that we do and how we make a living. And if they want to follow that, great. And if not, they can go off to college and the other things that they've done and just enjoy themselves.
How long have you been living this way?
Well, me and her have been together for 25 years. She's my first wife. I'm her second husband. But we've been living like this since we got together, huh? So maybe 27 years now.
Wow. And what's the... Ever close to death? I imagine so, right?
Well, close to death because we are death. Yes, we're basically running things down because we hunt things. And we've had a few close calls ourselves, and it's sure. Something we're avoiding like any other animal, you know, out there. But we're the humans, and we're part of the ecosystem, and we look at ourselves as kind of the top predator. And other than that, we look at ourselves as providers and hunters. And in my wife's social life, and not her social life, but in her whole society, it's all based around hunting. So there's the sharing, there's the good food, there's the clean food, there's the hard work that goes with it, and the health. And when I'm 90, I'll probably still be walking around looking for caribou.
So we're at the Northwest Cannabis Classic. How much does cannabis work into your life as far as, you know, natural medicine and sustenance?
Well, you know, I was an occasional smoker until about maybe 4 years ago, and then we had some troubles come upon us, and to tell you the truth, to take the stress out of the end of my day, I'd spark up a joint probably about, you know, once or twice a week, and I quit drinking alcohol in 2000, and if I feel like having myself a joint or something, I'm kind of sporadic, and it's a here and there thing. But I do enjoy getting stoned, I must admit that. And I like taking the end of my day and relaxing and letting the aches go away and just hitting the bed and sleeping hard. I find myself, like, if I don't have weed, not really any different, but the relaxation aspect isn't always there. I don't like laying in bed wanting to take, like, aspirin or Tylenol to relax my back or to get my hand working again or to take the chill away, because the cold really works your body out. And my wife, she's a fairly regular smoker, so I just go hit her up and say, hey, pass that thing on over here.
Yeah. That's excellent. And being north of the Arctic Circle, of course, you know, half the year the sun's not even there. So how difficult is it to come by cannabis around your parts?
Oh, cannabis is very common. Folks have been smoking here in Alaska for a long time. There's a lot of folks up there that smoke themselves. And then, of course, there's the black market that's got a heavy undercurrent. And nobody really disturbs that or hasn't disturbed that because alcohol is a felony to have up there.
Talking about like native lands or something? Or?
No, not native lands. Actually, the borough voted alcohol to be illegal, and only Kotzebue sells it. And I myself am a fireman and an EMT, and my wife too, and because we need to save ourselves, sometimes you got to save other people. But we've had a trail of destruction between Kotzebue and the villages there because people will drink and crash or drink and get lost or just, you know, be stupid, basically. You know, stupid, same thing, it's alcohol. But I haven't ever once picked up anybody with broken arms, you know, from marijuana. I've never once dealt with a fight or domestic violence. I've never once dealt with a house fire that didn't involve marijuana, didn't involve alcohol. So it's kind of a crazy thing. I can blatantly see the benefits of people being able to relax, enjoy their day, and socialize through the aspects of using marijuana and the dabs and the other stuff versus having a drink at night with their buddies. And it is a much better thing. And so we're here and we're thinking of getting into the retail aspect of it all, and we want to be as legal as possible. So to tell you the truth, this place is very interesting to us, and we've barely gotten in here.
All right. So you're talking about retailing up there, north of the Arctic Circle?
Yes, basically retailing in the villages. And we could bring the prices down, I think, and make it more available, you know. And if you've got a place where you consider it like maybe not a bar, but like where people have to give an ID and they have to purchase things, do everything as legal as possible, and just let people enjoy themselves like they already are, but with no police in their head, no in trouble or any of that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
People in the lower 48 have no idea how large Alaska is. Give them some idea. How far away is your area, and how expansive are we talking?
From Anchorage, we're 580 miles from where we live. The area, the borough that we live in, has, I think, 8,700 people. It's got 225,000 caribou. It's the size of Indiana, and it's spread out between 11 villages, and the major hub is Kotzebue, which has about 3,700 people. So you're talking a lot of land, a lot of animals, and very, very few people. So it's not going to be an exclusive idea that we've got, but we would like to hit each village and at least be able to provide, you know, the opportunity for people to get marijuana. And we've noticed in a lot of villages, especially with villages that have police enforcement that are pro-marijuana, you have a lot less arrests, a lot less domestic violence, a lot less people going nuts because they're stuck, you know, during the freeze-up or the breakup, and people just chill out on weed. So if we can help mitigate, you know, the problems there with providing marijuana, that's what we want to do.
So Chip, you're getting back to the show. Does it change how you go about your daily life, having these other people watching you with cameras and such?
Well, in a way it does change things, but honestly, we raise 7 kids doing this exact same stuff, and having 4 adult cameramen, usually paired down to 1 when we're hunting, but you know, the crew with us is like taking a bunch of adult kids. And they wipe their own butts and feed their own face, and when they get cold, they can put a jacket on without being told, so it's actually kind of a benefit. And then we get a compensation. And this year, the compensation finally got good, so we're kind of enjoying ourselves. The first time we've been to Anchorage in 6 or 7 years, and...
Wow.
Yeah, so we just wanted to come down and take care of a few things we had to take care of and enjoy the cannabis.
Well, let's do this. Let's enjoy the Northwest Cannabis Classic. Chip and Agnes, thank you so much for joining us and talking to us, and good luck on the show.
Yeah, never a problem, Russ. I hope to see you again.
All right. We're going back right after this. Stick around.
The Northwest Cannabis Classic is going to be making its way to Tacoma, Washington. I believe that's in August, and to Portland, Oregon in December. I will be emceeing both of those. Have a good working relationship with Corey and Kendra Ray, covering all 3 of the Northwest Cannabis Classics. I got to be the MC for the awards show this year as well. Evan Schlossberg from Matanuska Thunder Seeds took away 3 awards, I believe, that night. And there's plenty others. You can check out nwclassic.com. I'm sure they'll have the winners listed up there. I was a winner because I got to meet Dave, the man behind the Arctic Blue strain, and I don't know how I left Alaska without an interview with that guy. Oh yeah, I remember. He kept getting me stoned. That's all the time we got for Hour 1. Stay tuned, Hour 2 is next. And until next time, Take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.